All right, well, welcome, Agata. Really pleased to have the opportunity to talk to you today. I wonder if we could start out with you just kind of telling us a bit about your background and how you got to the position you're in now, and maybe some of the things you've done in the past.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me over. It's an honor and a pleasure to be part of the iSchool. Today I'm an information architect and I'm consulting for AT&T Wireless in their B2B e-commerce area. I got to where I am today through a career of different routes. So I started working as a support engineer at Microsoft. So I have a computer science background. And then at Microsoft, I moved through many different positions, program management, being my last position in the tablet PC. So I managed teams and I didn't manage teams. I hired people, I didn't hire people. I traveled representing different businesses. So did many different things. And then I did the master's in the information management, the master's of inf in information management at the iSchool, which armed me with new tools to be able to look for a different, slightly different position. And that's when I transitioned and became an enterprise architect at Starbucks, using my software engineering background, my computer science background, and the new knowledge from the that I had acquired through the program. After 3 years at Starbucks and delving further into the web world, I have now transitioned to be an information architect full time. So that's where I am today.
Great. Well, thank you. So, thinking about some of the positions you've held and perhaps people you've interviewed before to fill some of the people that work with you, what are some of the major qualities that you look for in a professional first hire? Somebody's coming out of school, wanting to work in a area that you work in. What kinds of things do you think about?
That's a great question, and something that I learned early in my career at Microsoft when I was training. At the very beginning, one of my trainers mentioned, "You know, there are a lot of things that we can teach you, like new technology and the new software, but we cannot teach you how to be a customer-friendly person. We cannot teach you how to be a person that it's approachable, that can converse, that it's dynamic, that it's responsible." So we look at those elements of the person when hiring. They can bring a lot of skills that have been trained skills, but I look also at those elements that are innate or that have been acquired through the experience of the person. How do they respond to questions? How do they present themselves?
So some of the soft skills, the personal sort of characteristics. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so to follow on to that, how much of what your employees or your past employees have learned has actually been on the job as opposed to something they brought with them in terms of the skills and perhaps some of the soft qualities as well?
Well, I think it is true many times that the right timing is important. There have been positions that we've hired and we've required to hire someone to bring the skills with them right now because we needed immediate results and we had very little ramp up. So we looked for people with a lot of skills in the area that we were hiring for. But there have been times when we needed to hire for long term. And when we hire for long term, the employer and or my position or myself, we were planning to train that person. So a lot of the interview at that time, for example, was about the quick learning skills or the learning skills of that person, were part of that interview.
Okay. So you said often in your short-term hires, when you're looking for somebody with a set of skills, I assume those are mostly hard skills. Can you describe some of the things that you think are important for people to be proficient in this economy, in this age, information age?
Absolutely. One of the things is the web technology. Like today, if I talk about using Twitter or Skype, the Web 2.0 technologies, that's got to be something that people feel very comfortable with. Even if they've never used it before, if I point them to the URL or the location, have them be able to ramp up very quickly and understand the technology. That's a key That's a key element. Being versed in the industry, being versed on the challenges of the end users, now that I'm in the space of the web development area, and being an advocate for the end user, understanding that the end user experience is very, very important to evolve the software, to evolve the results, to achieve whatever business you're doing. The end user experience will be key to achieve the results of that.
Okay, great. Given all these skill sets, what positions do you find right now that are open that employers are having a hard time filling? What kinds of jobs, functions are there that seem to be lacking people who possess the necessary qualification skills to move into them?
Areas that I find people, and I don't know if it's they're finding a hard time finding the people, or the positions that they're looking for are not defined correctly. Let's look at the coin on the two ends. There's a lot of searching for development and programmers. Programmers are very versed at thinking differently, understanding the computer, the technology on how to put all your conditionals of if then else and doing the whole processes work and managing memory. But they tend to overlook that interaction with a human of their end product. When we're looking at user interface developers or customer facing applications. So what is being difficult to hire is those technically savvy people that understand the need to be detailed oriented and put good design, put good information experience on the front end. I think the marrying of those two elements, one which is heavy on the soft skills and one who is heavy on the technical skills, is the hardest element today.
Do you think that will continue to be the case in the future? So looking 10 years down the road, do you see a change in that, or is that something you think will be constant?
It is a great question, and I would hate to say that it's going to be constant. However, it's two different personalities. It's like having a dual personality. I think we need to have both, and it will improve when both type of people can represent both areas and communicate. So it's learning about the communication of the hard technical skills with the soft elements. So I can see this being constant, but learning how to evolve it and bridge the gap with better communication. Hmm.
So observing people who are coming out of school and entering these jobs, do you find that communication the hardest thing for them to master? Is that a skill that's lacking commonly, and is it something that they don't see as being important, or is that something that...
Well, there's the generation of today, unfortunately, is bringing big challenges for the employers. One of them is that because they have been involved with the technology so early, it's innate in their part on how to interact with computers and devices, mobile and so on. So for them to communicate how or why they do it is very hard because they haven't thought it through. However, is that aspect of communication to explain how things work in detail is what needs to occur. So I find it very, very challenging for them how to learn how to explain something that they just learned. It's like if you ask me, how did I learn Spanish? I speak Spanish because I grew up speaking Spanish. So I think that's going to become really, really difficult. Other challenge that I wanted to bring up about hiring the new generation is the expectation of choice and flexibility and freedom of time. The new generation expects to be able to deliver things in their own pace, their own time, in their own manner. It's moving away from the traditional way of confined to an office, confined to specific schedules, confined even to a attire, costume, how to dress. The new generation wants a lot of freedoms, and I think we're finding challenges evolving one to the other. They're very disparate right now. The traditional corporations have very, very strict schedules, very strict placement of work, very strict rules. The new generation is working on their own schedule, delivering results from different places, mobile. So bridging that is becoming a challenge on the hiring side.
Well, that's interesting, and it kind of leads to my next question, and that partially answers it also, is that thinking about the field as a whole, what sort of changes do you see happening now within institutions and within the industry that may be maybe a reflection of the kinds of people that are coming out, or perhaps a residual of what's been there? Do you see that evolving over the next few years, and will that affect how people are being looked at for hires?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it needs to be refined on both ends, the expectations on the new students or the new workforce coming out of the student graduating and the corporations now hiring. And part of the corporations, they need to open up and learn and welcome the new technology of being able to work remotely or be open to focus more on results and not on processes or having a person physically sitting at a place. However, it presents a lot of challenges on how to manage. So that needs to be evolved and slowly refined. On the part of the students, I think they need to understand also that while they have all these amazing devices and technology at their fingertips, there's still a structure that needs to be put in place, and what it means to be part of a corporation, that there are set schedules, that there are set deliverables, and people need to be more responsible for that. I'm not saying that students aren't responsible for delivering their projects for school, but they do expect the corporations to give them the freedom that maybe even being a student has, right? They have to manage their own class schedules. They have to manage their own times. Corporations involve so many other people in projects that it's not that easy. So there's evolution that needs to happen on both ends and challenges. Today, the corporations have managed the new idea of working remotely as saving costs for human resources. And I think it might be one way of looking at it, but I think they're missing the point of being remotely is not saving your facilities costs. It's bringing a lot of extra challenges for management. How do you communicate when you don't have a visual interaction, for example? When the new corporation or the new students are versed in so many new elements and have access to so much information and they don't know how to communicate it, not having the face-to-face or the human interaction might present even further challenges.
So it sounds like thinking about skills and knowledge that are necessary moving forward, there are going to be a mix of traditional learning as well as thinking about new ways of managing and communicating that might be involve technology or perhaps not. But those might be skill sets and knowledge bases that students would be well advised to gather during the time that they're in school.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then thinking about after they get on the job or yourself as an example, over time, obviously, things change and very rapidly these days. What sort of things do you think about in terms of expectations for employees in terms of continuing education or for yourself in terms of what you think needs to be part of your learning as you move through your career?
Mm-hmm. I think that the something that employers need to look at is understanding that besides their space, what their company is about, and teach their employers their specific skills for the positions that they are working at, they need to open up and look at the industry overall. So if you're working at Apple, Microsoft, Google, or AT&T, wherever I've been, it's important to stay up to date with the industry overall. What is the competition? Who are the new who are the new players in the space? What are the new technologies? And be able to start reading and be part of associations and groups that are outside of the corporation itself. That's for the person, individual. For the corporations themselves is to allow that. So when individuals are part of associations or memberships or groups that are outside of that, they can bring in what they are seeing and what they are noticing as new challenges or benefits for their own corporation. So again, being open to connect with the external world outside of that corporation on both ends, I think is very, very important.
Are there associations that you personally are aware of that would be useful for students to think about in terms of their career that they should become involved in? And if so, how do you think about that involvement in terms of support from the organization over time?
There, in particular, in my case, in the area of software development and information architecture, information management, I'm in touch with ASSIST. I am in touch with the IA Institute. And as part of the bigger corporations, such as Microsoft or Starbucks, as I was an employee there, being part of the research companies like Forrester or Gartner and staying on top of their forums and on top of their conversations, I think was very, very helpful. It is very helpful. So those are a few that I can quickly mention. Not to say that there are so many out there now. It's trying to find the one that that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable so you can learn from it. When people stay in their comfort zone, then things get very stagnant.
Great. So if you were to give some advice to a young professional that's just graduating and wanted to enter the field that you're in, what kinds of things would you tell them?
Well, with the wonderful tool of the internet, first of all, I would tell them to jump and do searches and look at and search on the words and the actions that they would like to be doing and find out what is that they like to be doing. Second, and very important, and I think it's been throughout the ages, network. Try to find those people who are doing that what describes that they want to do. In today's age, the definition of accountant stays the same, but the definition of information architect is still very, very varied. So having job titles is not one thing only that will describe what you're going to do. So it's important to know and think about describing what you want to do. If you want to design games on the web, if you want to design software, or if you want to be an information manager, what does that mean? Does that mean organizing the data behind the database so librarians that work at the reference desk can do their job? Or does it mean organizing the different visual items on a screen so they can lay out and you can provide architectural tools? I mean, there's so many ways. So learning how to describe that and then finding and searching people who do that would be one of the best tools I could recommend students to have.
Great. Mm-hmm. And then kind of turning that around and thinking about while they're in school, how would they, what are the things they should be doing in terms of their own education to help make it the best education they can get for their career?
try to use everything you learn. I think there's never been a best opportunity than while you're learning it, apply it. Apply it in a safe environment, apply it in a project that you're doing with teams or yourself, or figure out a way of applying what you learn. The moment that you're applying it and using it is the best way of learning. That's how we learn now the new softwares. That's how we learn how your new phone is going to work. When you learn things is by doing. So everything you learn at school, don't just take notes and go home, but try to apply it.
Great.
Create your own test box.
Well, thank you, Agata. This has been very informative and interesting. Do you have any last thoughts before we end?
No, I think this is fascinating. I hope that this is helpful.
Great. Yeah, it will be. Thank you very much.
Thank you.